الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم
أشهد أن لا إله إلا
الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليكم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, Most Merciful, all praise is due to Allah, the Guardian, Evolver. I openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. I greet you, my brothers and sisters, in the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to, first of all, welcome each and every one of you out here to the first of three lectures sponsored by our group, Al Kafar Incorporated. The theme of our lectures, as I'm sure most of you are aware of from the flyers that we had posted in the various masjids, is recovery in Ellis Land. The title itself, the theme itself, points to a very tragic state of affairs that exists in the world as a whole, and in America in particular. And that tragic state is the epidemic of drugs that is running rampant in the United States of America and in our city right here, Philadelphia. The drug problem has gotten so bad that it has transcended all racial barriers, all ethnic barriers, all religious barriers, all age groups. It runs from the colleges down to the elementary schools. It has gotten so bad that we even find many of our Muslim brothers and sisters afflicted by drug abuse, drug addiction. Every day when we turn the television program on, we see that the crime rate has escalated. And the fundamental reason that most people point to the escalation in the crime rate is the proliferation of drugs and drug abuse. It has gotten to the point that the majority of the people in America, responsible people, have thrown their hands up in the air and said, enough is enough. Something has to be done. When we look around our communities, we see that many recovery programs have begun to crop up to address this problem. And we would like to state from the beginning that as Muslims, we applaud any and every program that attempts to deal with this very, very bad and difficult problem. Any program that attempts to take drug addicts, bank robbers, stick-up men, prostitutes, child abusers, all of the different types of crimes that are spawned by drug addiction, any program that attempts to take these people and rehabilitate them and bring them back into society as productive citizens, we applaud that program. But we as Muslims, we as recovering Muslims, we have particular concerns that we have to address ourselves to when we're recovering. Our total lives as Muslims revolve around the first pillar of our faith, La ilaha illallah Muhammadan Rasulullah. Many of the programs that we found ourselves involved with very, very subtly introduced concepts and influences that slowly took us away from this first pillar of our faith. As Muslims, this was absolutely unacceptable. We couldn't tolerate a program that, even though it helped us as far as dealing with our addiction is concerned, it had subtle influences in it that pulled us away from our faith. So the necessity came for us to establish a program, a recovery program, that used our religion and the tenets of our faith to help us recover. This concept of recovering within the framework of one's faith is not new to the medical field. I was speaking with a friend who's a medical doctor, and he was mentioning to me how long ago, when they discovered that insulin was the cure or one of the treatments for diabetes to help a diabetic recover, they found that one of the ways they could manufacture insulin was by using animals. And so they used a pig, and they extracted the insulin from the pancreas of a pig, they accumulated it, and they injected it into diabetic patients, and the patient began to recover. But this was unacceptable to many Orthodox Jews and to many Muslims. The tenets of their faith said that we cannot use the swine or any byproducts of it. So they asked the medical scientists to go back to the drawing board and try to come up with something that would be compatible with their religion. And they did. They soon developed a method to extract insulin from the pancreas of cows. Hence, we have pork insulin and beef insulin. So now a recovering diabetic doesn't have to compromise his religion to recover from this dreadful disease. He has a choice of a chemical byproduct from these animals that is consistent with his faith. Now, these people are so meticulous in guarding their faith as far as introducing physical chemicals into their bodies. How much more meticulous should we be about guarding what concept comes into our mind when we are attempting to recover from this drug addiction? Brothers and sisters, this is basically the reason why we saw a drastic need to add another recovery program to the already many recovery programs that we find here in the city. Hence, this was the need for the creation of our group, El Kafar Incorporated. At this time in the program, we'd like to get on because we had a delay as far as starting is concerned, and we again thank you for being patient and bearing with us. We would like to bring to the podium a brother who goes back to the very conception of the group El Kafar. This brother will give you some background information on the history of the group, and he will take you from its inception up to where we are today. So at this time, I'd like to bring to the rostrum our beloved brother in Islam, Brother Abdullah Kareem Muhammad. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmatuhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد وشر الأمور محدثاتها بدعة وكل محدثة Jin bidah, wakula bidah dalatin, wakula dalatin sinar. Surely the praise is for Allah. We seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah from the mischievousness of our souls and the wrongdoings of our actions. Whomever Allah guides, there's none to lead him astray. And whomever Allah leads astray, surely there's none to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. He is alone, and he has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and his messenger. The best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most evil of affairs is every newly invented matter, and every newly invented matter is innovation. And every innovation is astray, and every astray will lead directly to the fire. I greet my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I will briefly discuss the history of El Kafar and a little bit about the dilemma of drug addiction in the Muslim community. First of all, the topic being recovery in Islam, and if we look at what the word recovery actually means from a dictionary standpoint, recovery means to regain something that has been lost. So when we talk about recovery from the Islamic perspective, what has been lost is Islam, and Islam is unconditional surrender to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what has actually been lost is deen. And deen has been loosely translated or wrongly translated as meaning religion. And deen does not mean religion, But deen means way of life, or deen also has another meaning, which is obedience. So the recovery in Islam means that regaining what was lost is coming back to this deen, or coming back to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah clearly tells us in Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كل في سبيل كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. He says, O you who believe, enter all of you into Islam wholeheartedly and do not follow in the footsteps of Shaitan, because for you he is an avowed enemy. In 1987 and to the present day, there were a lot of Muslims that suffered from dysfunctional problems such as substance abuse being one of them. And this is something that at one particular time, I think I can speak from personal experience, was something that the Islamic community didn't really deal with, wasn't really even looking at. So consequently, those Muslims seeking any sort of help decided to go outside the sphere of Islam and go to churches, psychiatric centers, and 12-step programs. Allah says in Quran, do not take the unbelievers as friends and protectors over the believers, firstly. But let us understand that at that particular time, there was not any particular people that I know of that were dealing with the problem that had infested the community. Your real friends are no less than Allah, His Messenger, and the fellowship of believers, those who establish regular prayer and regular charity, and they bow down humbly in worship. So brothers were getting involved, and sisters were getting involved in this program, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and they were looking at this as a program that was completely consistent with Islam. And as time went on, a few brothers became a little disenfranchised with this program. Because first of all, it is the duty of a Muslim that takes Shahadatain and bear witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah to declare this. And in some of these meetings, people referred to things such as higher power. That might have been a doorknob, or it might have been a tree. And you had Muslims that sat amongst these people and didn't question and didn't say anything and took these people as their friends and their protectors, I being one of them. The dissatisfaction that took place brought about three brothers who in 1987 began meeting in their home. They knew that they were dealing with a certain problem, but they knew that this 12-step program was kind of going out of the sphere of Islam. And they began to meet with some of the imams and the leaders in the Islamic community, and it was suggested that they form their own group. The group that was later formed became known at that particular time as Jamaat al-Kafara. Now, the word kafara means the expiation of sin. And it comes from the verb kafara, yakafaru, which means to cover, to conceal, to annul, or to expiate. So this was the perfect or the best word that was used for a group, because these were a group of brothers that were beginning to realize that they were not addicts, they were not alcoholics, that they were Muslims. And that the first thing that the Muslim has to realize when he commits any haram is that he is wronging his own soul. And in warming his own soul, he has to make sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a totally different concept than a 12-step program. You see, in a 12-step program, they say, just don't pick up and everything is okay. So if you could go out and you could fornicate, you commit adultery, you could commit any type of crime, but as long as you didn't use that particular day, that was your success. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, let there come from you an ummah that enjoys that which is right and forbid that which is wrong. It is they that will find the success. So the group began to grow, and they begin to have ta'aleem at Masjid Allah and Masjid Mujahideen and the Philadelphia Masjid and International Brotherhood, and brothers from all over the city, from different massages all over the city that might have had differences in the past, began to come together as one Jamaat, Jamaat al-Kafar, which is later changed to Al-Kafar. And the Jamaat began to grow. And brothers started to leave these 12-step programs and started to try and begin to learn this deen. Ta'aleem and therapy groups were established. A halfway house has now been established on South 60th Street. There's a satellite group in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Ta'aleems have been given in New York City, upstate New York, New Jersey, and inshallah there'll be a kafar starting soon in Baltimore, Maryland. In 1990, Al-Kafar was recognized by Master Allah as the recipient of its Special Achievement Award for outstanding dedication and service to the community. It is now recognized by all the masajids in the Delaware Valley, and the Jamaat is growing. This series here is a result of brothers now wanting to convey the message. Because if we look at this particular message as being purely about substance abuse, we've missed the mark. It is related by Abu Hurairah in a hadith of Muslim that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said that Allah said that if there was a people who did not sin, that Allah would sweep that people away and create a people who did sin so that they could ask for forgiveness so that he could forgive them. So we understand, beginning from Adam, alayhi salam, and going near the tree that he was told not to get near, and hearing words of inspiration from his Lord, we have kafar. We have the expiation of sin. We have the atonement for sin. We have a clear methodology for getting it together without having to use the non-Muslim for it. The Quran is a shifa. It is a healing for the diseases of the heart. So no longer do I think that I have an incurable disease because I have Quran. No longer am I walking around searching for an identity because I'm Muslim and I have my identity today. No longer am I walking around looking for a purpose because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells me what my purpose is. He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. He said, I have not created jinn or mankind for any other reason but to worship me. This is what I'm trying to convey today, that this recovery in Islam is coming back to this deen, is coming back to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not following in the footsteps of Shaitan, who we are told is an avowed enemy to us. They used to say that drug addicts, African Americans, had no or low self-esteem. Today I don't have to worry about self-esteem because I have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things are critical. This understanding is critical. The answers are in the Quran and found in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And any answer that we might want for any particular problem that we might have can be found there. So no longer is it necessary for us to take the unbelievers as friends and protectors and try to use their programs and find success. Because I don't care if you could be in those programs for 5 months, for 5 years, for 50 years, and say you're clean. But it don't mean nothing on Yom Kiyama if you don't have your thing straight. It means nothing whatsoever. Now we have a brother that's coming on, Brother Dawood Adib, who I'm waiting anxiously to hear, that's going to go further into the subject of recovery in Islam. But I just leave you with the ayat of Quran that I began with. O you who believe, all of you enter into Islam wholeheartedly and do not follow in the footsteps of Shaitan, because he indeed is an avowed enemy to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm sure we enjoyed the words from our beloved brother Abdullah Kareem Muhammad. At this time, we'd like to move right on with our program. We would like to bring to the rostrum the brother that we've been waiting to hear. He spoke to us all this morning at Masjidullah at a brotherhood breakfast. He spoke to us on the theme Brotherhood in El Islam. And for those of us that were there, we can all bear witness that he gave us a very timely message. It was brief and to the point, but it was full of wisdom and it was clear and concise. So I see he's ready, and without any further ado, I'd like to bring our beloved brother Dawood Adib.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praises due to Allah. We laud Him and beseech His help, and in Him we seek forgiveness. And we seek the refuge of Allah from the mischiefness of our souls and the wrongdoings of all of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, no one can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leaves to be left astray, it is because of some kufr, or some shirk, or some bid'ah, or some misconceptions and aberrations that they have in their own hearts and minds, no one will be able to guide them. And I publicly bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship as a deity except Allah. He is alone, He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is a servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa in Allah the way you should have fear in Him, and do not die except in a state of Islam. O human beings, fear your Lord who created you from one soul, and from that one soul its mate, and from the two of them countless men and women who are spread abroad. Remember your duties to your Lord, and remember the mutual rights that you have between you, and revere the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah is a watcher over all of you. O you who believe, have fear and taqwa in Allah, and say a word straight to the point. Allah will forgive your sins, and He will repair your actions for you, and whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, they have already achieved the greatest of success. As to what follows, surely the best speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad alayhi salatu wassalam. And the worst of all affairs are newly invented matters. And the worst of all affairs are newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is an accursed innovation. Every accursed innovation is astray, and every astray will lead you directly to the hellfire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has graced us with His mercy and His bounty and His blessing with the deen of Islam. The deen of Islam is a ni'mah from Allah. He perfected it, He completed it, and He gave it to us out of His pleasure. He said that He was pleased to give us this way of life called al-Islam. I will be remiss standing here before you by the permission and power of Allah if I did not mention, on the heels of what my brother Abdullah Kareem said, is that the deen, the word deen, does not mean religion. When Allah says in the Quran, الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمْ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, Allah didn't say that He completed a religion for you. He didn't say that for us He completed a religion. This is not a religion, because the word religion comes from a foreign word, foreign meaning outside of Arabic. For those of us who are Muslims, we consider every other language except Arabic foreign. The word religion comes from the Greek and Latin, which means a relic, something that you just cherish one time or another. You take it off the shelf and you polish it, and I remember this memoir here. It's something that you just look at once in a while. It's a relic type of object. That's what religion means to the kuffar. Something that you can do with or do without. But deen means a total way of life. And that's why the brother appropriately mentioned the ayah of Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, اُدْخُلُوا السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُبِينٌ. Enter into the silm, which here means al-Islam. Enter into this deen, all of you. And the ayah, according to the scholars of tafsir, it means all of you, jami'ukum bisha'airikum. It means enter into the deen, all of you, with all the canonical laws, wa ahwariha,
all of the chemical laws, all of the rules that the gene dictates, and do not follow the footsteps of Satan. Surely Satan is an avowed, open enemy. He's not a hidden enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his glorious Quran, Ya ayyuha an-nas, inna wa'adallahi haqq. O human beings. And here it means Muslims. Not just human beings in general, it means Muslims. Surely the promise of Allah is true. فلا تغرنكم what? الحياة الدنيا. فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا. And don't let this life fool you. Don't let this dunya fool you. And the scholars of Islam, they say that at dunya doesn't mean this thing today that we're living in right now. It means the dunya from the first time Allah created it to Yawmul Qiyamah. And that's why the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that the two sunnah of Fajr, Raka'at al-Fajri, Khayru min al-Dunya wa kull ma fiha. That the two sunnah of Fajr is better than the whole dunya and everything in it. It means the dunya from the first time Allah created it to Yawmul Qiyamah. Don't let Hayat al-Dunya fool you and trick you and beguile you and dupe you. That means this life and everything in it. Everything in it. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ Allah says. So this ayah that we find in Surah Al-Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is warning us after telling us. And Allah, لا يخلف الميعاد. Allah never ever ever breaks His promise. He says that His promise is true, so do not let this dunya beguile you. Don't let it trick you. And let not the avowed beguiler, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let him trick you. First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't let hayat dunya trick you. And then He takes something that is of the hayat dunya, making a specific, separating a specific entity from the hayat dunya, which is Satan, and tells you and us, don't let Satan fool you. You see how meticulous Allah is. Very meticulous. Don't let the hayat dunya fool you, and don't let the Satan fool you. Inna Satan lakum adu, fattakhidhuhu aduwa. Allah says, surely Satan is an enemy. And then Allah commands us, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عُدُوًا. So take him as an enemy. Don't play games with Satan. Don't be deceived in thinking that Satan is only crack. Don't be fooled in thinking that Satan is only prostitution. Don't be fooled and thinking that Satan is only dealing with robbing banks or committing zina or any of the things that Allah mentions in the Quran that are close, near, or higher than that. No. Satan, a'udhu billahi minhu, and his tricks and his workers come in many, many, many different forms among the jinn and the men. Systems, organizations, institutions, concepts, philosophies, theologies, we can go on and on and on. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَدْعُوا حِزْبَهُ لِيَكُونُوا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ السَّعِيرِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He only calls His party, the people who make a friend of Him, the people who make friendship with Shaitan, He only calls you His party, those who follow Him, so that you can be of the people of the hellfire. And then we have the hadith of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu waradahu, where he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam khatta khattan biyadihi. He drew a line on the ground with his blessed hand. sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because everything of the Prophet was blessed. Not just the inside of him, but his very tongue, his lips, his saliva, everything of him was blessed. He took his blessed hand and drew a line on the ground, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said. And then he said, Hada Sabilullah. What type of Sabilullah? What type of Sabilullah? What type of way of Allah? This is the way of Allah. Mustaqeeman. Mustaqeeman. A way that Allah has, which is straight. And it's interesting, brothers and sisters and guests, that the word sunnah, the linguistic meaning of sunnah, means tariqa or sabil. It means a road or a way or a methodology. We're talking about recovery. Recovery for the Muslim, male and female. هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ مُسْتَقِيمًا. This is the methodology. The methodology for what? Just for making salah? Just for making wudu? Just for fighting in jihad? Just to know how much the grandmother gets in the share of inheritance? No. This is the way also, the methodology that we're supposed to use to recover from this foolishness called narcotics and alcohol. This is my way and it's straight. مُسْتَقِيمًا. Then Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said that he drew ثم خط عن يمينه وعن شماله. He drew lines on the right of that one line that he drew straight, and they were zigzag, one narration says. They were going in all different types of directions. And the one on the left, those on the left, were also going in different directions. The one he drew the first time was straight. مستقيماً. And then Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, reciting the verse from the Quran, هذه الصبل هذه الصبل وأن هذا صراط مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل. He said, this is the straight way, so follow it and do not be parted from this way. He drew lines on the right side, he drew lines on the left side. He said that all of these lines, these methodologies, these concepts, these philosophies, these recovery programs. Yes, did he say it like this? No, but that's what it means. These recovery programs, all of them have a shaitan on it. يَدْعُوا النَّاسِ إِلَيْهَا. Inviting people to it. They all have a shaitan on them, inviting the people to it. And like Aisha radiallahu anha, when she asked the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in questioning him, because she didn't understand about the people who involve themselves in astrology, which is another trick from Shaitan. Numerology, which is another trick from Shaitan. She said, but the soothsayers and the astrologers, they speak the truth. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, but it's mixed with 99 lies. Every road, every methodology, every philosophy outside of Sirat al-Mustaqim has a shaitan on it, inviting people to it. All of them. So do we need any other recovery program other than those similar to Jamaat al-Kafara? I stand in front of you brothers and sisters and tell you no. Not only do I tell you no, I'm telling you that you should stay far away from them. Why? Based on these ayat and these hadith, that they have a shaitan on each of them, inviting you and me, those who are sincerely trying to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are sincerely trying to natubu ilayhi. We talk about recovery. Look at the meaning of the word tawbah. The word tawbah means rujur. It means to return to Allah. Those of us who sincerely want to return, recover what we lost, return to the correct way of life, we sincerely want to return to Allah and all those things that He said for us to do in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And in our sincerity, shaitan, either from the men or the jinn, يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, he whispers into your heart and tells you, yes, keep going to Reverend Bob or Mr. Bill or whatever their names are. As long as you're clean and long as you're sober, you're straight. You don't have to make salat. You can shake women's hands and hug women in the meeting. As long as you're clean, you don't have to go to Salatul Jama'ah in the masjid. You don't have to wear your khimar anymore. As long as you're clean. If this is not from Satan, what is? This is from Satan. No, but I'm clean. They taught me how to stop using drugs. Yes. And you may end up a mushrik and clean at the same time. You may end up a kafir, but clean. You're not blasting anymore in the pipe, but now your ideology is that Allah is in this light up here. Or is in this microphone. And whatever makes you feel good and leads you away from that, that's the thing that guides you. Am I saying this from myself? No, I'm not saying this from myself. I'm saying these things that are based on the NA and AA concept. I have the book right here in front of me, and I want to read some of the things that they say. They have this thing called the 12 steps. The 12 steps. The first step, before we go there, in the preface of the Quran of those people, or the Bible of those people, or whatever book you want to call it, because Allah says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book. Not this one. This, the Quran, is the book. In it is guidance, and it has no doubt, no raib, no shakti, no doubt whatsoever in it. It is a guide for those who have taqwa. It is a guide for those who have taqwa. But from what I've been told from my brothers in Islam who have been a part of these programs, they say that the people tell them either explicitly or implicitly that this is the book. And that you read this book for a whole year and don't read anything else. Now, if this is not from Satan, if this is not from Satan, at least some of the other deviant people who claim to be Muslims of the past told you about the Quran and said, put it up on a shelf high on a shelf and respect it. At least that deviant said to do that. These people are telling you not to read anything else but this book. And you know who I'm talking about. Some of you know who I'm talking about, too. We don't have to mention his name. In the preface of this book, and this is the fifth edition, it's obvious they have a first, second, third, and fourth. So I guess they just revise on their bid'ah and their kufr. On the last page in the fifth edition of the preface, it says, therefore, with gratitude in our recovery, we dedicate our N.A. book to the loving service of our higher power, that through the development of a conscious contact with God, now they're making a separation now. The higher power is not God now, right? No addict seeking recovery need die without a chance to find a better way of life. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited those few verses that I recited in the Khutbah al-Hajjah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Oh, you who believe, have taqwa in Allah the way that you should have taqwa in Him, and don't die except being Muslim. No addict seeking recovery need die without a chance to find a better way of life. So in other words, as long as you die clean, you're straight. You don't have to worry about dying a Muslim, just die clean. And like I've told many people in public speeches before, in and outside of khutbahs, wallahi, tallahi, billahi. That's the only three oaths that we have in Islam. I swear by Allah, the one who is over his throne above the seven heavens, I would rather die, brothers and sisters, a Muslim with AIDS, than a kafir in good health. I would rather die a Muslim with the dreaded disease AIDS than a kafir clean from narcotics. We need a program that is based and revolves around the Quran and the Sunnah. All other programs, all other methodologies have a shaitan on it, leading men to it. These 12 steps that they mention in this manual for guidance and recovery, quote unquote, in the introduction We haven't gotten inside, deep inside the book yet. We just finished with the preface, now the introduction. In the introduction, it says, we are not a religious organization. We are not a religious organization. Our program is a set of spiritual principles through which we are recovering from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Throughout the compiling of this work, we have prayed God. It's not a religious organization, but throughout this, the compilation of this work, we have prayed God. Allahumma. If you translate it in Arabic, that's what you're saying. Ya Allah. Allahumma. Grant us knowledge that we may write, that's W-R-I-T-E, that we may write according to your divine prescript. And anyone who knows English language knows what a prescript is, or precept is. It's a set of canonical rules and laws that are dictated by a certain religious set. See how they lie? We are not a religious organization. Though they say, Allahumma, grant us knowledge that we may write according to your divine precepts. And at the same time, all through the book, they say, whatever you consider your higher power, that's what you use. So now you call on this pillar right here, and you say to this pillar, either explicitly or implicitly, guide us or give us knowledge so that we may write according to your divine precepts, O higher power. Make and instill in us a sense of your purpose. What is the purpose that Allah created us? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I did not create jinn or man except that they should worship me. So what are they asking when they make this dua? Don't think that this is not a dua, brothers. This is a dua. This is a dua here, but they're not a religious organization. Make us servants. Make us ibad. Ibad what? To ibad al-alameen. Everything other than Allah. Because that's what al-alameen means. When we say alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, al-alameen in this ayah, it means everything other than Allah. You can't be talking about al-alameen and talking about Allah at the same time. If you're talking about Allah, you're not talking about al-alameen. If you're talking about al-alameen, you can't be talking about Allah. It's two separate entities. Make us servants of your will and grant us a bond of selflessness. Grant us a bond of selflessness, that this may truly be your work, not ours. What may truly be your work? The methodology and philosophies of NA and AA. So now they've attributed the NA and the AA philosophies to the Sharia. This is your plan, they're saying. This is your purpose. This is your resolve, O Allah. Make us a part of it. You're asking Allah to make you part of something that Satan is on, inviting you to the hellfire to. In order that no addict anywhere need die from the horrors of addiction. In order that no addict anywhere may need die from the horrors of addiction. Then we move on to step number three. There's 12 steps. Some of them are pretty nice. Remember, Shaitan doesn't always come with all lies. Shaitan has many tricks. And sometimes he'll invite you to do good so that he'll have a bigger trick waiting for you that makes you go even closer to the hellfire. Step three says, and I quote, we made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Can we quote the rest of it, brothers? As we understand him. As we understand him. And the prophets of Allah, al-anbiya wal-rusul, came to correct our understanding of Allah. You can't understand Allah the way you want to. You have to understand Allah subhanahu the way Allah says to understand him. This is a clear violation of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the belief in the oneness of Allah and his beautiful names and perfect attributes. Is that you cannot call Allah other than the name that he calls himself, or the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called him, or some Sahaba in some authentic hadith called Allah. You can't call Allah divine mind.
You can't call Allah the higher power. You can't call Allah my boss. Allah is my boss. Did Allah say he was your boss? You can't call Allah things that he didn't call himself. And then they say, as we understand him. So now you've devised a sharia and a deen of your own. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلُ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Whoever seeks a deen other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and in the last day he will be of the losers. That's what Allah says in the Quran. إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Surely the only deen with Allah, the only methodology with Allah, the only philosophy that we need to be followed in the estimation of Allah is al-Islam. And then, principle 12. It says, or step number 12. And really, it's a principle, like our principles of Islam. These are principles. These are qawaid, they're arkan, they're principles and rules that every recovering addict has to follow. Isn't it wajib to follow these? It's obligatory, right? You have to follow these, or your recovery won't be successful. It won't work. The 12th step says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, so as a direct result of the employment of this kufr, we try to carry this message to addicts. Now you become du'at. Now you become da'is, propagators for this foolishness. Now that you've convinced yourself, after Satan has deluded you, now the 12th and final step is that you have to go out and give da'wah to the other addicts to bring other people to this and lead them. Now you became Satan. You now become one of the party of Satan, inviting other people to this kufr. See how subtle this is? But just be clean. Just be sober. You straight. I didn't smoke no joint today. I didn't bang today. But I didn't make salat for the whole week either. A'udhu billah. Wa li'a'udhu billah. We seek refuge with Allah from this. This is no plaything. The program of Jama'atul Kafara. May Allah reward these brothers and sisters for developing this. Ameen. This program and programs that I hope and pray for Allah will develop throughout the United States is a program that will aid the recovering addict not just to leave off drugs and alcohol, but will prepare them to, inshallah, answer the three questions in the grave correctly, because NA and AA won't do that. The three questions in the grave are all based on tawheed, al-aqeedah, not fiqh, not economics, not politics. Who is your Lord? What is your deen? And who is your leader? NA and AA won't help you with that. And how many times have we seen people have a seemingly good program, salt and pepper with a dash of Islam and a dash of Rosicrucianism and a dash of Masonism and a dash of Hinduism and a dash of this and that. How many times have we seen people be deluded with these things and die thinking that they were successful? We try to carry this message to addicts and to practice these principles in all our affairs. In all our affairs. On page 25, on step 3, they say, our concept of God comes not from dogma. It comes not from dogma. What is dogma? It's a system of doctrine that's promulgated, that's proclaimed by certain religious sects or ideas. Our concept of God comes not from dogma, but from what we believe and from what works for us. From what we believe and from what works for us. Brothers and sisters and guests, if you can't see this is from Shaitan, if you can't see that this is clear kufr and shirk,
then all of you need to take an application out for the place of Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder when they die, because you're blind. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the three men came to his family and asked how did he worship, how does the Messenger of Allah worship, they told him, they told the three, Allah told these three men how the Prophet worshiped. They deemed the worship of the Messenger of Allah, they deemed the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, they deemed the tariqah, the sabil of the Messenger of Allah as a small trifling thing. The first sin that they committed. How can you even imagine that the Messenger of Allah's worship, his methodology, is an insignificant thing that can be left off? Like Imam Malik said, rahimahu radiallahu anhu, of the four great Imams, As-Sunnah كَسَفِينَةِ النُّوحِ مَنْ رَكِبَهَا فَقَدْ نَجَى وَمَنْ تَخَلَّفَ عَنْهَا فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. He said the sunnah, and once again brothers and sisters, we're not talking about the sunnah of eating with the right hand and walking in the bathroom with your left foot, we're talking about the sunnah, all the sunnah, even in recovery. He said the sunnah is like Noah's ark, whoever rides it is saved and whoever abandons it drowns. The three men thought that the sunnah was of the Messenger of Allah was insignificant. We can do better than that. So one of them said, I'll stand up all night, every night, and I'll never go to sleep. The other one said, I'll fast continuously and never break my fast. The third one said, I'll never marry women. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, said with his blessed tongue, I'm the most fearful and most pious of Allah among you. You see what he told them? I'm the most fearful and most pious of Allah. إِنَّمَا أَنَا أَخْشَاكُمْ وَأَتْقَاكُمْ. I'm the most fearful of Allah and the most pious. I pray at night and I sleep. I fast and I break my fast and I marry women. فَمَنْ رَغَبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. Whoever forsakes my sunnah. Did he just mean those three things? Whoever forsakes my methodology of recovering from narcotics and alcohol, they're not of me. Whoever forsakes and abandons my sunnah, they are not of me. Whoever rides the ship of the sunnah, they're saved. Whoever jumps off, and some of us don't even know how to swim, and we jump off, they drown, they're destroyed. They also say, at the end of this last statement, on page 25, the right to a God of your understanding is total and without any catches. The right to a God of your understanding, whatever you devise in your own minds and hearts, is total. They're saying this concept that they're giving you is complete and without any catches. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, it has some catches. Believe me, it has some catches. And what is the catch? The catch may be one of those hooks that is over the bridge called Sirat that people will be going over, that's on the back side of the hill. That's the catch. Don't get caught by one of those hooks. If you use these programs, you will definitely, wallahu a'lam, and Allah knows best, you will definitely get caught. You may not get caught in this life, but for your abandonment of the sunnah, the methodology of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, in your recovery, you may get caught. Then, they really stretch out in their kufr and shirk. They not only have 12 steps, they have 12 traditions, 12 ahadith, 12 asar, 12 ikhbar, 12 traditions. In chapter 6, they say our common welfare, our common welfare, the black recovering addict, the white recovering addict, the Japanese recovering addict, the Arab recovering addict, our common welfare should come first. Allah comes first. What do you mean your common welfare comes first? Our common welfare comes first. JazakAllah kulla khair. And then they say personal recovery depends
on NA unity. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. So the only way you can recover, according to these statements, that are between the two covers of the book that has doubt, for those who want to go to hell, says that it's dependent upon the NA unity. And we know that our recovery comes from tawakkul ala Allah wa imanu bihi, trust in Allah and belief in Him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, translated into English from Surah Al-Nahl, that those who shaitan has no sultan over, those who shaitan has no authority or power over, are those who put their trust in Allah and believe in Him. That shaitan only has power over those who befriend him and commit shirk. That's the only one whom shaitan has power over. So now, NA and AA, they have taken us away, and similar programs have taken us away from the dignified status that Allah created us in. Even though the Muslim becomes a lowly individual when they use narcotics, they're still dignified in the estimation of Allah because they believe La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Don't be fooled, brothers and sisters. Just because you fall off, as we say in the street, just because you take a fall, that doesn't mean that Allah doesn't love you. In the real sense of the word, it doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love you. As the person who drank alcohol, and then he was punished by the Messenger of Allah, and some of the Sahaba started abusing him with words. The Messenger of Allah said, don't abuse him. Don't curse him, for surely Allah loves him, and His Messenger loves him. I'm not saying, brothers and sisters, to continue in your corruption, and that Allah still loves me. I'm saying that don't be fooled into thinking that because you start living in an abandoned building, as I did myself, me, the brother standing in front of you, living in an abandoned building, lying on dirty cots with a spike in his arm. And at that time, I had almost memorized Surah Al-Baqarah, the whole of Surah Al-Baqarah. And with a spike in my arm, when one of the dope fiends that was sitting in front of me said something about Islam, and I said, you don't know anything about Islam. He said, well, what do you know? And I tried to recite Al-Fatiha and couldn't get past Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I had gotten so far out there, I couldn't get past Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Don't be fooled, brothers and sisters, that because you have come to this low station in life, that you have to depend on those other programs that seem more sophisticated, more elaborate. They have hundreds and thousands of dollars, millions of dollars to help you with your so-called recovery. Don't be fooled in thinking that you are lowly creatures. No, because the worst Muslim is always better than the best Catholic. The worst Muslim is always better than the best Catholic. Always. There are probably some individuals from among us who are in these programs similar to NA or AA that have memorized the 12 steps. I don't know. I don't want to put you on the spot. Did you memorize them? You memorize them? You're a hafiz of the 12 steps, huh? SubhanAllah. You're hafiz, huh? SubhanAllah. There are probably some of us, I don't have to say probably more. Here's an example. Memorize the 12 steps and can't give me 3 of the people that the Prophet said to 10 people that's going to paradise. Give me 15 of the prophets in order that they came in history. But you know the 12 steps. Tell me 3 five parts of wudu. 2 five things in Hajj and Umrah. But you know the 12 steps. You see the trick in it? You see how Satan makes us think we're doing something right? He makes something seem fair seeming. In actuality, he has a trick beneath the trick. As I mentioned in one speech before, the 6 tricks of Satan, one of his tricks is to put a big trick under a little trick, for instance. And relate this now to NA and AA.
Shaitan will whisper to the human being to show off. So the person recites Quran very well.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Oh, beautiful voice. So then you get pumped up with pride, which is an attribute of Allah. Because Allah is the only one that can be arrogant. The attributes and names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them, that when Allah has them, it's good, and when you have it, it's bad. Allah is the only one that can be arrogant. But when you have it, it's a bad defect. It's something bad. It's a bad attribute. So Satan will whisper to you and pump you up with pride. And then you start reciting Quran or calling the adhan to be seen by men. Wow, listen to that brother's adhan. So then Satan will return and whisper to you to repent. Check this out now. Satan will whisper to you to repent to Allah, which is a good thing. Don't forget now, relate this to N.A. and A.A. He'll whisper to your heart, say, repent, O servant of Allah. This is shirk al-afghar. This is minor shirk to show off. So the servant will listen to the whispers of Satan, feel bad, and repent. And then that trick, that Satan of showing off, is removed by the servant's repentance. But then the other trick, which is the bigger trick, is supplanted under the little trick. Shaitan will now have the servant say, I'm not going to recite Quran at all anymore. I'm never going to call the adhan anymore. Now, the big trick that Shaitan wanted to catch you with was to make you abandon totally the worship of Allah. At least before you were doing it, you were just adulterating the act. But now, the big trick is that he gets you to leave off the worship of Allah altogether. You see how subtle he is with this? And this is what NA and AA programs do. They make you think that by leaving the narcotics and the alcohol, that you're doing something slick. You're doing something that's good, and Allah is pleased with it. Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with it. Of course he is. Because he commands us not to go near these things. Khamr, it's haram. It's a major sin. What? Shaitan, a'udhu billahi minhu, and all of those who work for him, I seek refuge with Allah from him, and all of those who work for him, Satan now deludes the individual to feel comfortable, which is another trick from Satan, to make a person feel comfortable in the righteous act so they won't go further. Another trick from Satan. The brothers were explaining to me that there's some other steps that are beside the 12 steps. I don't know what we should call these, but there are five of them. We have five pillars in Islam, we know that. The Shahadatan, Iqamat al-Salah, Fa'ita'a al-Zakah, Wa Sawm al-Ramadan, Wa Hajj al-Bayt. Bearing witness that there is nothing worthy of worship of the deeds except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, to establish correctly the Salah, the paying of the Zakah, the fasting of Ramadan, and the Hajj or pilgrimage to the house of Allah in Mecca. There are five things that they have in NA, which goes as follows. For your daily life, the first is that you get up in the morning, and then you get on your knees, and you ask your higher power to keep you clean and sober. That's the first one. Number five. There's five things now. That you get up in the morning, you get down on your knees, which is the hay'ah, which is the method of the Christians and the Hindus and the Buddhists. You get on your knees and you ask this cup, or you ask your wife, who's your higher power, because your wife can be your higher power now, according to them, to keep you clean. Number two, you call another recovering person. To do what? To invite them to Islam? No. Is that what they tell you to do? To call another recovering person to invite them to Islam? Now, there's only two types of da'wah in the world, brothers and sisters. The da'wah to Islam and the da'wah away from Islam. So now, if you're not inviting him to Islam, then what are you inviting him to? And if you're not inviting him to Islam, then he may be inviting you to other Islam. Number three, you talk to your sponsor.
You talk to your sheikh. You talk to your dalil. You talk to your hadi, your guide, who guides you on the tariqah of N.A. It's a tariqah. It is. It's a tariqah. You call your sponsor so that he can guide you through your daily life. Then you go to a meeting. You go to the lejna or the jama'ah, your congregation. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is another deen. Wallahi, brothers and sisters, this is another deen. And the fifth thing is that you thank your higher power. How do you thank him? Or her? How do you thank him? Allah knows best. I hope I'm close to an hour. Because you know me, brothers, I can't talk really long, really. You know. Am I close to an hour? Alhamdulillah. For those of us who have not seen the program, the methodology, the philosophy of Jama'atul Kafara, I suggest that you look at it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed these brothers and sisters immensely. And they have these 8 steps that they've derived. They've derived from the Quran and Sunnah. The first one is tawbah wa i'tiraf, recognition and repentance. And we won't go into detail. The second one is tawliya, which is attachment. The third is therapy and support, which is nasiha. The fourth is deprogramming, which they've named tawheed. The fifth is fundamentals, asas. The sixth is istiqam, repair. The seventh is idkhal, which is re-entry. And the eighth is building and propagation, which is bina with da'wah. And they base all of these things on Quran and Sunnah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in an authentic hadith transmitted by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that you will begin to follow the sunnahs of the people before you. You, the Muslim, will begin to follow the sunnahs, the sunnah min qablikum, of those who came before you. And you will follow them, shibran bi shibrin, zira'in bi zira'in. You will follow them handstand by handstand, armstand by armstand, inch by inch, step by step. He said so much so that if they were to go into the hole of a lizard, you would follow them right into it. They said, oh, Messenger of Allah, is this the Jews and the Christians? He said, for men. He said, who else? Aren't we doing this? We have N.A. wedding. N.A. wedding. N.A. aqiqah. N.A. walima. N.A. dua and zikr. You will follow the sunnahs, the methodologies, the mores of the people who came before you, so much so, so tenaciously, that if they were to go into the hole of a lizard, you would follow them right into it. In my conclusion, brothers and sisters, I beg of you, not in the name of the higher power, I beg you in the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, in accordance with the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, to follow His guidance, which is the best guidance, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as exemplified in the sunnah of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam. Then, because I'm not attaching Jama'atul Kafara by saying and, I don't want to say and, then, because this is slightly, this is a type of shirk if I say then, if I say and, but we don't say if it's your will and, if it's Allah's will and your will. No, we say if it's Allah's will, then your will. Then, try to follow the program of Jama'atul Kafara or any organization that Muslims have set up that's similar to it. I have a strange feeling, brothers and sisters, that from the look of my brother Abdul Karim in the back, they don't want me to stop. So we'll go on, inshallah. And I pray that Allah gives me the ability to speak that which is right and not get hoarse. I'd like to talk just a little bit about the issue of Muslims falling. The issue of Muslims falling. Falling back into the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed from us when we took our shahada.
We know the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, authentic hadith, where he said that Islam does away with everything that came before it. We don't care what you did. You could have been a homo. Islam did away with everything. You were completely exonerated from everything that you did. We don't care if you were a child molester, wali'adhu billah. Allah's deen, when you accept it, He does away with everything that went before it. This is a blessing from Allah. But how is it? What happens to the Muslim when they fall? Or they stumble, I should say. Because we don't really want to say they fall. Because even in stumbling, if you notice when you're walking down the street, when you stumble, you pick up a faster pace. So we don't want to say fall, we'll just say stumble. What happens? What makes the Muslim stumble? I stand in front of you brothers and sisters and tell you, I don't know. I really, to this day, don't know what made me, after never shooting stuff, because before that, I was just a sniffer. I don't know what made me shoot stuff. And I'm not just saying stuff in the colloquial street term by just meaning heroin. I mean heroin, cocaine, and morphine, and drinking Zilla, or y'all call it Robo down here. Like, that's what you used to call it, right? Robo 786. I did all of this. I, to this day, don't know what made me indulge in these things, and I didn't even indulge in them when I was a Kafir. When I was a Kafir, I was a good little Christian boy. Didn't do any of these things. And then when I joined this so-called group that thought they were Muslims, I was introduced to narcotics, and then after coming into the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, I started going to the cooker. Now, I can't tell you. That's for the brothers who are specialists in these things. Maybe they can tell you. I can't tell you what made me do it. But I know one thing, brothers and sisters. I know one thing. That if you find yourself leaving the jama'ah, as I did, separating yourself from the community, you will become a victim. As the Prophet ﷺ said, you're like a sheep. When you separate from the jama'ah, you're like a sheep that separates from the flock, that falls easy prey for the wolf. Unity, the unity of the Muslims is key for your recovery. It's key. That's our common goal. Our common bond is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, then unity. The correct aqidah, then unity. I really don't know, brothers and sisters, how many of us will die so-called addicts. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instills in us the zeal to carry out these programs, similar to and Jamaatul Kafara, the community of atonement and expiation. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us in the knowledge of pure Islam, which is key for our recovery. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases us in cash money so we can push it. Don't be fooled again to think that you can just go out and do these things without cash. You have to have buildings, you have to have beds, you have to have counselors, they have to have salaries. We need money for these things. And you should give generously to any Muslim program like this. Because these other programs, you look at 60 Minutes, you look at 2020, they're a rip-off. You may be clean, but the American Cancer Association and these AIDS foundations and these NA and AA foundations, they're ripping you off. They're taking your money, and I guarantee you not 1 cent that the Muslim gives in donations to NA goes to any masjid, but I'll guarantee you, I bet you they go to one of these churches. I guarantee you they'll go to some Jew or Christian foundation. So we need cash. After the correct knowledge of Allah, after the unity, we need money so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless this effort, so that we can become like the Sahaba became from the greatest sponsor, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who detoxified a whole tribe, a whole nation of people, the whole peninsula, people who used to sit up and write and make poetry without writing it from their minds, right there on the spot, 70, 100, 200 verses of poetry on how many women they slept with the night before, or how many jugs of alcohol they used to drink. The Messenger of Allah was the best responsible. So what you should do is you should get up, make your salah, call another brother or sister who's having the same problem that you're having, read some ayats of Quran or hadith to them, talk to your sponsor, and we already know who that is. Go to the masjid, not to a meeting at NA, go to the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where there is no shaitan inviting you to the hellfire. And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we do at least 17 times a day in Surah Al-Fatiha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala improve our condition and forgive us of our sins. May Allah cause us to make tawbah, the real tawbatun nusuha, the real tawbah, the tawbah of resentment and regret of what we've done, having remorse for what we've done, staying away from the things completely that we used to do, vowing to Allah never to go back to that thing. May Allah increase us in these things. And may Allah increase us in the enlightenment, which is another trick from Shaitan, to not believe or be deluded into thinking that because I may be using, I can't enjoin people to do good. This is a big trick from Shaitan also, brothers and sisters. Don't be fooled into thinking that because you are dirty, you can't invite people to do good. No. This is a trick. We have an obligation that has four steps: to enjoin yourselves, ourselves to do good, and to refrain from the evil, and also to enjoin others to do good, and enjoin them to refrain from the evil. Don't be tricked by Shaitan, don't be beguiled by Shaitan in thinking that because you are committing sins, you can't order other people to do good. No, this is a trick from Shaitan. May Allah increase us in this knowledge, and keep us away from all the things that displeases Him, and all the things that His Messenger and the Sahaba fought against. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Anything that I've said that is correct is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not the higher power. And anything that I've said that is incorrect or wrong is from myself and or Shaitan, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never makes any mistakes. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. I'd like to inform each of you that the piece of paper that was passed out to you is for any questions you might have for our speaker, Brother Dawood Ajib. At this time, we want to move right along. I want to bring to the podium the Emir of Al-Kafar Incorporated, Brother Abdul Rashid Salahuddin.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد عبده رسوله. I bear openly bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and I openly bear witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah is His last servant and messenger. I greet my beloved brothers in the greetings of peace and paradise. As-salamu alaykum. Alhamdulillah, we would like to thank our beloved speakers, Brother Abdul Kareem Muhammad, who is traveling from Baltimore, Maryland, the preliminary speaker, and we praise Allah for his very timely history of Al-Kafar. We would also like to thank our beloved brother who has traveled from Newark, New Jersey, Dawood Ajib, who has given us a very timely, detailed description of what recovery is in this land. Alhamdulillah. We would also like to thank you, the believers, brothers and sisters of in and around the Delaware Valley, and other brothers and sisters who have traveled from out of state, for coming to Philadelphia and to this lecture and supporting us in the efforts that we are trying to make with Al-Kafar and establishing the clear consciousness and dawah for those who call themselves Muslims of what we are actually supposed to do, and we are of what we are supposed to do as Muslims in recovery. As in the case of any sound effort
As Brother Dawood has said, we need support from the community. We need financial support. So inshallah, as you came into the auditorium, we gave out donation envelopes. And the donation envelopes are envelopes that we are asking, which become sadaqa, peace of the Allah, for us to help support the programs that Al-Kafar is doing. We will break so that we will collect these envelopes, and anything that you can give will be greatly appreciated. Never can we support a program unless it's financially supported. We're finding out that there are a number of programs that Al-Kafar, or we get requests from. One of the requests is that we have sisters who are in shelters, kafira shelters, who are not allowed to cover up, who are told to take off their kimars, who are told to put their religions in the closet. We're getting many requests from brothers who are institutionalized, who are in need of places to stay when they come out. They need a net. They need an Islamic net. We are trying to establish those services. We have a halfway house on 15th and York, of which we're trying to renovate. It takes money to do. We need windows. We need doors. We need staff. And this just doesn't happen by osmosis. It just doesn't happen overnight. We certainly ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we may be successful in these efforts. Another project that we're trying to establish is that we want to acquire a building on Broad and Erie, right in the midst of a known and diehard drug area. Inshallah, that building will be able to hold at least 35 to 40 people. This will be our first effort, inshallah, to house brothers and to have a separate place that will house needy sisters. But we need the support of the community. And we're asking you to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a beautiful loan. We're asking you to dig deep, inshallah, in supporting us in our efforts. We'll take a 5 to 10 minute break, then we will ask Brother Dawood Ajeeb to come back on and to answer questions. We will entertain written questions that will be written on the paper that you have, and we also have a mic out in the audience for those who would like to verbalize their questions, inshallah. But we want to get all the envelopes in and finish that before we bring the brother back on. We want to give him a little breather, inshallah, in between so that he can catch his breath. So inshallah, please do not leave without giving the envelopes back, and inshallah, putting them in. We will have the question and answer period. Also, this tape, the whole tape, will be for sale for $5 immediately after the question and answer period. We appreciate again your support. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullah.